You guys have your Bibles, I've asked you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse number 8. And while you're turning there, I remind you the theme for this conference is lead like Jesus. And you and I as men have a great responsibility to follow that command, to lead just like our Jesus would lead in every area of His life. We talked about last night the heart of a leader. And we talked about the foundational truths on how it means to lead. To lead means this. It means that you and I learn to be a servant. We talked about last night the purpose, Jesus' purpose there in Matthew chapter 20, if you remember. He was talking to His 12 disciples, and He reminded them to serve. Remember, He said to be a minister, which means to be a servant. And then He told them to be a servant, which means a bond servant. Which Jesus is telling them this, that I want you to surrender. I want you to submit your whole life to Me, to live for Me, to honor Me. We talked about His purpose. We talked about His example of Jesus washing the feet of His disciples there in the upper room. And then we talked about the humility. To be a leader, we understand that that individual has to have a spirit of humility, a spirit of humbleness. It cannot be a spirit of pride. It cannot be a spirit of arrogance. We understand this, that when we look at the life and the ministry of our Jesus, you do not see a man who was arrogant. You do not see a man who was selfish, but you see a man who is selfless, a man who is caring and compassionate and loving. Listen to me, not just to the few, but to all that He came in contact with. He loved them. And so we talked about the heart of a leader last night. This morning, I want to talk about the session, the hands of a leader, the hands of a leader. And what I mean by that is the sacrificial opportunities that you and I have to live like Jesus. We saw the foundational part of having a heart like Jesus and having a heart of a leader, which starts on the inside with each and every one of us, and hopefully the decision that we make to surrender and to be the leader God has called us to be. But today takes another step into the hands of a leader is now the opportunity you and I have to live Christ through our actions, through our deeds, through the words that we speak and the things that we say. Again, let me remind you that looking up the definition of leader, it said this, it's someone who directs another's way, someone who leads or directs a military force, or someone who has commanding authority or influence. When you think about that and you think about those definitions, you and I may think of somebody who stands over people and literally maybe even takes his authority and abuses it. But the reality is to be a leader, according to the scriptures, is you and I what? Humbling ourselves, serving others, loving others the way Christ loved others. But I want to show you some areas in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives that Jesus wants us in particularly to be leaders. Yes, Jesus wants us to be leaders in our church. Yes, we ought to be leaders in our community, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if there's one area, most importantly, because you're going to see that this was instituted before the church was instituted, there's one area that Jesus wants you and I to be a leader, it's in our home. You understand, you go all the way back to Genesis, and you see the very first institution that God created was the home, was the marriage. The church would come later. So the reality is for you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a man of God, when we call out the fact that we need to lead like Jesus, the most important part we need to understand is how you and I lead at home. Are we the leaders at home? Are we Christ in our homes? Do our children, do our grandchildren, do our wives see us as Christ? Through our actions and how we love them and how we treat our children and how we are able to be the leader of our home in these areas. And so I want you to go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 8. The first point about the hands of a leader that I want us to look at today is just that. It's you and I's responsibility of leading in the home, of leading in the home and being the leader. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first 7 verses, you're going to see here that as you go through and look, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy here, he's talking about the works of a good minister, a good servant in Jesus Christ. But I want us particularly to look at verse number 8, because he's talking to Timothy and he says this, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I'm going to be truthful with you. Those are some pretty harsh words in that verse right there when you stop and think about it. But you look back with me, and I want to kind of give you some definitions of some of these words. Maybe it will help us better understand this verse. Paul writing on the inspiration of God, writing to this young man, Timothy, he says, but if any provide not. And that word provide there means this. If any maintain or does not look out for or does not consider for his what? His own or his self. Paul in writing here makes a great statement. Understand this, gentlemen. You and I cannot be the leaders at home until we take care of ourselves. See, if you and I try to go and we try to lead our home according to our thoughts and our intents and our purposes, we're going to fail. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. Listen again. But if any provide not for his own, he says, if you do not consider and maintain yourself, if you and I do not consider and maintain ourselves, what does he mean there? He's talking about our Christian walk, gentlemen. If you and I, listen, you and I will not be able to lead our home if we are not following Christ. You and I will not be able to lead our home if we are not daily in the Word of God, if we are not daily upon our knees, if we are not daily walking and talking and fellowshipping with our Lord, then you and I cannot properly, listen to me, as a child of God and as a man of God, lead our homes correctly. And that's what he's saying here. He says, you can't lead your home until you maintain yourself, until you look at yourself, until you examine yourself. I can't tell how many times I've sat in counseling with husbands that are about to lose their marriages, with parents who are about to lose their teenagers, and they ask me this, Brother Doug, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you know what the main key thing is, Brother Gary, that I see constantly, whether it's a marriage falling apart or a family falling apart, it belongs to a husband who is not faithful. And I'm not talking faithful to his spouse and to his children. It belongs to a husband who's not faithful to his God. Almost every time what I can find out is this gentleman will say, well, yes, I'm having to go to work a lot and I'm having to work a lot of hours and I'm not at the home like I should. And when I come home, I'm gripey and I'm tired and we're constantly arguing and we're constantly fighting and the kids don't respect me because listen to me, respect is a two-way road, folks. We understand this. I had a parent one time tell me this. They said, well, you don't understand, Pastor. They said, I want to be friends with my child. Listen to me, folks. Your children and grandchildren don't need a friend. They need a father and a grandfather. They don't need to have a friend. They've got plenty of friends. They need to have an authority figure in their life who can lead them. But the Bible says here, you and I cannot lead at home until we're leading ourselves correctly. You and I must, listen to me, every single day. It is not an option if you and I are going to lead like Christ. If we're going to lead like Christ, then it's every single day you and I better be in the Word of God. Every day you and I better be on our knees. Every day we need to be living. We need to be praying and asking God to help us lead our children and our wives the right way. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, then listen to me, you and I cannot maintain for our family and our homes. We have to make sure we're okay. Because help me understand this. One of the easiest things to do is to shift blame to somebody else. Again, I've sat and I've counseled with married couples before, and let me share what they'll do. They'll blame one another. But very rarely do they take the blame for themselves to see their faults. But boy, we can be so quick to point out the faults of our spouse. We can be so quick to point out the faults of our children. We can be so quick to point out the faults of others instead of looking at ourselves. And that's what Paul is writing under the inspiration of God. He says, but, look what he says, if any provide not for his own, if any doesn't look out and consider and maintain for himself. Have you understand this? Have you have a car on the parking lot? Have you realize this? You don't maintain that car, what's going to happen to that car or that truck if you don't maintain it? It's going to break down. It's not going very long. Hey, guess what? See this body that you and I have, this flesh, see this life that you and I have as a leader, as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you and I do not maintain that on a daily basis, then guess what's going to happen in your life? It's going to break down. It's going to break down and you're not going to be able to be the husband. You're not going to be able to be the dad. You're not going to be able to be the grandfather that you could be if you do not listen to me. And I'm not talking about an oil change on a car every 3,000 miles. I'm talking about if you and I do not daily maintain our fellowship, our walk with our Savior Jesus Christ. I'll tell you where the home starts, because God instituted it, and you're going to see it in a minute. Guess who he holds responsible as the leader in the home? You don't know who it is? It's not the wives, fellas. It's the man. You and I have been given a great responsibility to lead our homes, and it's not an option, but God in his omnipotence, God in his omniscience set it up that way where the husband is to be the leader of the home underneath the leading of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And we're following him. He says, guys, we have to maintain ourselves on a daily basis, or we will not be able to lead our homes correctly the way that we should. Look what he continues on. Then he says, he turns it to the family. But if any provide not for his own, and especially or most of all, for those of his own house or household. He says, if he does not do these things, he hath denied or refused the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that word infidel is the same word as unbeliever. If he doesn't provide. Now, let me remind you here. We understand because the world teaches us this. But if you as a husband think that you're doing your providing just because you're putting a roof over their head and a vehicle in the parking lot and clothes on their back and food in their bellies, then you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ, as the leader of our home, we're missing it. You and I do have a responsibility to provide for our families. We do have a responsibility to make sure they have shelter. We do have an awesome responsibility to protect our families, to feed our families, to provide for our families, to work for our families. We understand that. That's the world will tell you that much. You know what the Bible's trying to tell you and I here is this. When you study this and look this out, he says, especially for those of his own house or household, what he's telling you and I is this. We ought to maintain and care for those that are under our authority in our home. I'm going to tell you who your first responsibility is to lead if you're in here tonight and you're this morning. You're married, is that lady you call your wife. That's the first person you're responsible to lead in your home is your dear wife. And we're going to see in a minute the Bible very much teaches us that the wives aren't to love us, but we're to love them. Nowhere in the Bible do you see where the Bible commands the wife to love the husband, but the husband to love the wife. Let me share something with you. You want to know why? Because it's reciprocating. If you and I will love our wives the way Christ loved us, and let me share something with you, they'll have no other choice but to love you the way they're supposed to love you. But if you and I walk around in our underwear, beating our chest, howling like a monkey, swinging through the chandeliers in the house, thinking we're Tarzan of the jungle, and yelling all kinds of commands and telling her to do this and do that, that's not the leader that she needs. You know what our homes need? Our home needs spiritual leaders. You know what your wife needs? Your wife needs you to go home with the understanding that, as the Bible says, that you maintain, that you look to her spiritual needs. Could I ask you this today? How many of us in here read the Bible with our wives? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. How many of us in here pray with our wives? When's the last time that you've had a discussion where you just sat down with your wife and not an argument, but you just talked about the things of God, the Word of God, that you've shared blessings with her? When's been the last time that you've sat down with your wife and you've just been real open with her? When you have things that you're going through and valleys that you're going through and you're struggling with, knowing that she'll pray for you and want to pray for you. But you and I have to lead. You and I have to be the man of God that he's called us to lead our wives in these areas into hell. You say, well, Pastor, my wife doesn't want to have any part of it. My wife don't want to have anything to do with it. Listen to me. I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, then you do this. You work on the first part of this verse. What does that mean? You let your wife see you daily maintaining your spiritual walk. You let your wife see you every day getting in the Word of God and reading. You let your wife see you every day upon your knees in prayer. You let your wife see how God and only God can make the change in you that 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us about. And you let your wife see you. And I promise you this, more often than not, if she watches you and she sees you faithful, it won't be long till she'll fall in line. Because she's going to see the same Jesus in you that she's going to desire. Because you want what all ladies desire? They desire, listen to me, affection, love, and attention. Everything that Jesus gave the people all through the Bible. You look here and you see, he says, especially for those of his own house, leading in the home. I want you to go with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua is one of the heroes of mine in the Bible and the Scriptures. Joshua, at the death of Moses, Joshua was thrust into the leadership of the children of Israel to lead them into the promised land. Joshua, as a matter of fact, if you remember, him and others went, remember, they spied out the land, and Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a positive report and said, let us go get it. Remember what the other 10 spies said? They said, we dare not go because those are giants in the land. We'll be defeated in this. Only Joshua and Caleb were the two that said, we can go because God's given it to us. Let's go get it. That's why I believe Joshua was the leader of the nation of the children of Israel at this time. But one thing I loved about Joshua is that he wasn't just a great military leader. He wasn't just a great leader of a people. But Joshua was a great leader at his home. And I want you to see why. I want you to look at Joshua 24, verse number 15 with me. Joshua here is addressing Israel before his death. And I want you to listen to what he says. Verse 14, he says to the children of Israel, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. He's telling the children of Israel this. He's saying, look, the God that you and I have served has been faithful and good to us. He said, put those little gods, that you've been serving on the flood, put all those away. Put those away from you. Get rid of those and serve the one true God of Israel. Verse 15, I love this. He says, and if it seem evil or bad unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And that phrase, choose you this day, you know what he's telling them? Daily. Joshua says this isn't a one-time decision. He's talking to the men that were the fathers and the husbands. He says, choose you this day and every day. What does he tell them here? Look what he says. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and that phrase my house means my family. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love what Joshua said. He said, listen, I can't answer for anybody else. But I'm telling you this, you would be wise to follow the God who has led us and has protected us and provided for us. But he said, I'm going to tell you right now, choose you this day. And folks, I'm going to share something with you. That same challenge is to you and I, even in this year of 2026. When he says you and I must choose this day, choose daily. Paul even said it there in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 8. Choose daily who you're going to serve. How many understand this? You and I can't serve God in the world. You realize that? We can't hold hands with God in the world, folks. Why? Because we're going to fall and we're going to fail. You either get all in. If you're going to get in all of God, listen to me, man, then get all in for God. Get all in for Him. Sell out to Him. Love Him. Submit to Him wholeheartedly. And if you're not, then live for the world. And man, just live for the world with everything that you've got. That's what Joshua's saying. Be a man. Make a choice. Choose you this day. Choose every single day who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve God, then serve God and be the man you're supposed to be. If you're going to serve the world, then serve the world. And you deserve rightly what the world will give to you. But Joshua said this. He said, but I want everybody to know one thing. And I can see it, Brother Gary, that old man hold his finger up and he says this. But as for me and my house, my family, my wife, my children and my grandchildren, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And he wanted everybody to know it, folks. It's about time we had some godly men that would lead like Jesus and be the Joshua and stand up on a daily basis and be able to say daily, I choose Christ today. I choose God today. And as for me and my house, as for me and my wife, as for me and my children, we're going to serve the Lord and I'm going to set the example. And I'm going to be the man that God called me to be. And I want to lead the way He wants me to lead. We lead not just in the home, but we must lead in the family. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 5 with me. Ephesians chapter number 5 gives us some great truths in leading in our family. We understand what it is to lead in the home. We have to daily choose that to be the leader. You've got a wife at home who looks for you to lead. You have a family who looks for you to lead. You say, well, Pastor, my kids are no longer with me. My grandkids are no longer with me. Let me share something with you. You understand this? They still look, listen to me, for that spiritual leader in their life. You say, my son's got his own family. But you realize he also has a father that he looks up to still. You realize you got grandkids that still look at their grandpa to see how he leads and how he leads the grandma and how he loves his grandmother and their grandmother. Ephesians chapter number 5, how do we lead in the family? Ephesians chapter 5, why don't you look at verse number 25. Husbands, if you're here and you're single, close your ears in this part, I guess, or listen, hopefully one of these days God will send her to you. Husbands, love your wives. I don't know about you guys, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, I promise you this, that's a pretty easy command. That word love there, is the John 3:16 love. For God so loved, that's the agape love. You know what that means? That means this. You and I don't love our wives when they can give to us what we want them to give to us. Listen to me, folks. I'm saying this because it's all men. You don't just love your wife behind the bedroom door. You love your wife when she's sick. You love your wife when she may be upset with you. Because that's the sacrificial love that he's talking about here when he says, husbands, love your wives. And understand he said this, your wife. Too many times I watch in churches and I see men that I feel like that they look at other men and say, man, I wish I had his wife because this seems like he sure has that. And share something with you. That's not loving your wife. You love your wife. You appreciate your wife. You thank God for your wife. Even when she's mad at you, guess what you do? You love her. With that selfless, sacrificial love, you love her. You care for her. You watch out for her. You protect her. That is your queen, and you take care of your queen. You stand for your queen. You love her. Protect her from the wiles of the devil and the world and what's going on. You cherish her. She ought to be precious to you and valuable to you. It shouldn't be that you avoid her. It ought to be that you look forward to being home with her because of who she is. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my wife. You know what? But I know her husband. And that could be some of the problem. Very simple, gentlemen. Husbands, love your wives. And look what he says. How so? Even as Christ also loved the church. Uh-oh, look at this. And gave himself for it. The word gave there means this. He surrendered and he yielded his life for the church. That's you and I. You and I as husbands are to surrender and yield our lives for our wives and to lead them. To love them. Some of your wives would be shocked. And I challenge you to do this. I look forward if I get to do it. I challenge you to go home today. Open the door. Don't say a thing to your wife. Grab her by both shoulders and put a lip lock on that sister and kiss her like she's never been kissed before in a long time. And then just simply tell her, I love you. Now, let me share something. Some of you, when you do that, her jaw is going to hit the ground. All right? But I'm talking about love your wife. Cherish them. Let them know how special they are to you. The also opportunity you and I have to lead them, to guide them. Why? As Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love you and I? This much. When he's willing to die. If we love our wives the way Christ loves the church, you realize this, that when they were speaking falsely against Christ, when they were accusing Christ, when they were tempting Christ, you realize he never said a thing to them. He didn't have the authority. Oh, you're not going to have the last word. I'll have the last word in this argument. Oh, you're not going to talk to me that way. I'll make sure that I'm going to enact an ounce of flesh just like you did me. That isn't what our Jesus did, gentlemen. To love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and wash it. Cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives. Look at this. not just as Christ loved the church, but we're to love our wives as our own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Then I want you to look with me at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, raises it up, trains it up, and cherisheth it, or loves and cares for it, even as the Lord the church. Leading the family. First responsibility every one of us have in here, if you're married, is to lead and to love our wives and to cherish them. And so how do you cherish them? Little things that you and I can do throughout a day. Do you realize that we can love our wives? I try as much as I can when we're out to open the door for my wife everywhere we go. We go to the grocery store, if we go to a restaurant, I break my leg to try to get to the door first to open the door for her, to let her in and to shut her door for her. Pastor, that's old-fashioned. That's not old-fashioned, that's Bible, folks. That's loving your wife. That's letting your wife know how valuable she is to you. That's letting your wife know that you cherish her and that you love her and that you care for her. When I open the door at night at the house and it's dark, I go into the house before she goes into the house. I want to make sure it's okay. Everything's all right in this. Little things that you and I can do to show her. See, let me share something with you. It doesn't always take money to show your wife that you love her. Sometimes it's just care. Sometimes it's just you and I paying attention to the little things and the little details and loving her in that way. And then not just them, but then also our children and our grandchildren. You look at chapter 6, verse number 4. He says, and you fathers, and that can be fathers or grandfathers. He says, provoke or arouse or enrage or anger not your children to wrath, but bring them up or train them up in the nurture, in the discipline, the correction, and the instruction, and the admonition, and the rebuke of the Lord. The Bible says that you and I are not to provoke our children unto wrath. But we're to be wise in how we handle discipline. We're to be wise in how we train up our children. I stand before you today, I am a very blessed man for many, many reasons. But one of the reasons I'm very blessed is I've got two boys back in Waco, Texas. They love the Lord and both know Christ as their Savior. And I thank God for that. But can I put just a little footnote to this? Their mother and I made many, many mistakes in raising our boys. Many things I wish I could go back and change, but I can't. Only by God's grace they are who they are in Him today. But can I remind you this? There were so many other people that helped us raise our boys. And you want to know where they were? They weren't in the public school. I'm going to tell you who helped raise my boys and with us were the folks in the church. The man and my wife saw the importance of having our children in church every time the doors were open. And so, Pastor, my kids are very rambunctious. My kid cries. Let me share something with you. Guess what? All kids do. And it's not just yours. All kids do. I can name you a lady right now, Miss Susan Wright, Jacksonville, Florida. I thank God that my oldest son to this day, 30 years old, still calls her Mama. And she has no blood relation to us. She taught a Sunday school class that my son was in, and she loved my boy. And I'd never be able to repay her this side of heaven for the love that she showed to my son and to point him to Christ. And folks, I'm going to share something. It didn't happen in the public school. It didn't happen in the neighborhood. I'm going to tell you where it happened. It happened because I had my boys in church. When the doors were open. I didn't just take them to church on Sunday morning. I took them Sunday morning. I took them Sunday night. I took them Wednesday night. You say, well, Pastor, my kids gripe and complain and get mad. Yeah, guess what? So did my boys. But as long as they were under my roof and eating my food and living on my dollar, they didn't have a choice but to go to church. You want to raise godly children? The statement's true. It takes a tribe to raise a child. You just better make sure that you are in the right tribe. And you need to thank God for the men and women that God will place into your life and in your church family that will come alongside of you and help you to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Very important, gentlemen. And not only are we to lead in the home and leading in the family, but lastly, Nehemiah chapter number 2, verses number 17 and 18, we have got to lead in our community. Nehemiah chapter number 2, verses 17 and 18. If you know the story of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem had been burnt and been destroyed. Word gets back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah's heartbroken because of Jerusalem and the ruins that it sets in. And God allows him to go and to take some men with him to rebuild the walls in the city and destroy it. But I want you to look at verses 17 and 18 for time. It says, "Then said I unto them," this is Nehemiah, "you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come and let us build up to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand or the power of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened and encouraged their hands for this good work." You see here that we need to be not just the heart of a leader, but the hands of a leader leading in our community. Nehemiah went out into his community with the purpose of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. Let me share something with you, folks. We live in a community of Pahrump, Nevada, that needs the gospel, that needs to see the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time we're at the grocery store, every time that you and I are out in our community, we have a responsibility to continue to be the leader that God has called us to be and to love people like Jesus loved people, to look for opportunities to be able to witness, looking for opportunities to be able to serve in our community, being able to take Jesus to the streets, being able to take Jesus to the masses and being able to teach them and to tell them there's a God in heaven who loves them and a Jesus who died for them. We have outreach communities. I know Brother Gary, his dear wife, I believe it's Miss Floyd and Miss Kat, they go to our first responders. How often do you guys do that, Brother Gary? Once a month, and they will take baked goods to them, and they're building a rapport and a relationship with these men and women because they want these men and women to know that South Valley Baptist Church cares about our first responders. We love these men and women. We thank God for these men and women that lay their life down on the line for us every single day. And we want them to know and just show a token to them that we love you, we're thinking about you, and we want you to know our Jesus. We work with a homeless ministry. We have an opportunity to work there. We have an opportunity to work with the First Choice Pregnancy Center. The president of the First Choice Pregnancy Center, Miss Nancy, is a member here at our church. Miss Sue, she works over there as well. Other ladies work over there. We get to work and we get to help. Listen to this. It's great. Young women who get pregnant, and to let them know that there's a choice beside abortion, that God gave you that child. It may not be in the perfect circumstance, in the perfect situation, but that child in your womb is a gift. He's not a curse. And be able to tell them that God loves them. And watch them make a decision for themselves to be able to say, I'll give birth to this child. And if I can't support, I will at least put him up for adoption so somebody can take and love this little boy, this little girl. Wow. We do our neighborhood donations the first Saturday of every month at 8 o'clock in the morning. We go in our community handing out packets, going from door to door. We don't knock on the doors. We just hang the packets out. And if God puts somebody in our way to talk to, we get the opportunity to share the gospel and witness to them. But folks, we need to understand, not only do we need to have a heart of a leader, we can have that heart of a leader, but if we don't have the hands of a leader, we're going to fall short. We got to act on the decision that we make to go forward. Let me ask you this today. Think about this. Are you and I providing for our household's physical needs and neglecting their spiritual needs? You say, well, I'm putting a roof overhead, I'm paying the electrical bill. Are we providing those physical needs, but neglecting the spiritual needs of our family? And what is that wall, as we see in Nehemiah, and my family and my church that God is calling you to rebuild? Maybe it's a relationship with your wife. Maybe it's a relationship with a child. And God's calling you to rebuild that, to go and to repair that, and that you make the decision to go and to do that. And then how can I better cherish my wife and my children as Christ cherishes me? How more, how better can I cherish my wife and let her know that she's valuable to me, that I love her and only have eyes for her and her alone, that she's special to me, and to let her know those things? Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the great truths of your word given to us through this session. I pray, God, as we dismiss, that you'd be with us in these next few moments as we have fellowship time, and as we'll come back for the third session, that, Father, you'll continue to work in the hearts and lives of these men and myself. We love you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.